Take your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 22. We'll begin reading at verse 60. May I say this, that in studying this portion of Scripture, we are seeing one of the most important events in history. Of all the events that have taken place, from the dropping of the atomic bomb to the beginning of the United States of America, through all the different conquests, this is the greatest event in history. Even greater than the birth of Christ was the death of Christ, His resurrection. But He's coming again. And we look forward to that event. And beginning at verse 60, "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest." This was his third denial. "And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." In your mind's eye, see Peter being confronted once again about being a disciple of Christ. His saying no, the cock crowing, and Jesus turning and looking directly at Peter. And we find it says, "And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that the need that each of us had was taken care of with Christ on the cross. And though the cross itself has no saving grace, your blood does, and we thank you for that blood that was shed. And Lord, we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 60. And immediately the cock crew. Have you ever done something that you regretted? And aren't you glad there wasn't a siren that went off? Well, maybe there was a siren that went off. It was on top of a car with all kinds of pretty red and blue lights. But here we find that Peter denies Christ and a rooster crows. Wouldn't that be terrible if we were at school or at work or with our family and we denied the Lord his due and suddenly a rooster cried? May I say this? I used to think that roosters only cried in the morning. How many of you have that false opinion? They only cry in the morning. I tell you what, when we went to Honduras, 24 hours a day, they just crow and crow and crow, and I think somebody go out and remove their head. Didn't happen. Verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. May I say this, if Jesus Christ was walking today and he looked at us, you think we'd cringe? I wonder how many of us would look away or try to hide. How many of you remember being in class and the teacher would ask a question and you hid behind the person in front of you? Yes. Brother, what do you probably would move a little bit so then you could see them, right? Yes, I tell you what, some people today they hide and they fall asleep, but that's okay. Verse 62 says, and Peter went out and wept what? Bitterly. All of us have probably cried over some mistake we have made. But you know the good thing about our Lord is he welcomes us back if we get things right. But he wants us to get things right. Verses 63 through 65, and the men mocked him and smote him. Can you imagine having them put a bag over your head and then beginning to hit you in the face? And saying, prophesy. Now, I don't know that I can prove this, but I wonder how many of those men are in hell today, and over in their minds they hear them say, or they hear themselves saying, prophesy who hits you. May I say this, that 1 second after we die, we will either be in the presence of our Lord or we will be in hellfire. And if we're in hellfire, there is no turning back. It'll be that way for eternity. And we find that the Lord patiently endured this. The book of Isaiah says that he opened not his mouth. Jesus had not yet officially been declared guilty, and yet the soldiers were permitted to mock him and abuse him. This was against the tradition of the Jews. It was against the law of the land. And yet here they were beating this man that had not yet been found guilty. They mocked him. Have you ever pondered this thought? What were the angels thinking at this time in history? I'm talking about the good angels. What were they thinking? Were they waiting for the command to destroy the world and set him free? And what about the evil angels? What about Satan and those that fell with him? What were they thinking? Were they saying, give it to him, hit him again, the harder? And I wondered what they were thinking as the clash of good and evil is seen and played out at this point. Warren Wiersbe writes, Jesus is an example to us of how we should behave when sinners ridicule our faith and us. And they are ridiculing our faith today. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter, if you would, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I wish we lived in a world today where the United States of America was known as a Christian nation. And there was no doubt about it. And that we were proud of the fact. And I believe that someday we could be a Christian nation again, because I believe the churches could rise up and we could have revival and we could see positive things. But may I say this, that when you pray for America, that you pray for God's will to be done, for he has a will and he has a plan. But if you would, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning, if you would, at verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also what? Suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Chapter 4, if you would please, still 1 Peter, chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. May I say this, that some of us may be in the future called on to suffer for our Lord. Be prepared. Be ready. Study the Word of God so that He can bring back to your memory those things that you have studied. Know what the Word of God has to say. Back in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 66. Luke 22:66. But as soon as it was day, it is generally believed that the Jewish council could not vote on a capital offense at night. So the chief priests and scribes and elders had to assemble again as soon as it was day. And it would explain the early morning meeting of the Sanhedrin. Verses 66 through 71, it talks about the religious trials and the key issues. Is Jesus of Nazareth the Christ of God? It is the crux of the matter. We find that they wanted to know, who are you? And tell us who you are. They were sure his claims were false and that he was guilty of blasphemy. And the penalty of blasphemy was death. We don't have time to turn to Leviticus chapter 24, but those that declared blasphemy were to be stoned. They were to be killed. But Jesus knew the hearts of his accusers, their unbelief and their intellectual dishonesty. He knew their hearts. Folks, may I say this? He knows your heart right now. He knows how many of us are just putting on an act. He knows how many of us would rather be home doing something around the house or at some other activity, but because we'd be embarrassed to miss, we're here. He knows your heart, but he also knows the heart of you that wants to come and wants to honestly worship him. He knows your heart. Jesus knew it would be futile to preach to this group. He knew it would be wrong to even try to debate with them, because they wanted him dead. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever wanted you dead, but that's a pretty fearful thought, isn't it? That somebody hates you that much that they would do anything to see you dead. So the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders who have rejected the evidence ask him a question: Art thou the Christ? It's the same question that is being asked you today. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? And if you don't believe that he is the Son of God, then you must believe that he is a liar or a lunatic. For you either must believe him to be Lord or a liar or a lunatic. And they said, who art thou? Jesus himself calls himself the Son of Man, which was a messianic title found in Daniel chapter 7. We find that he claimed that he would have the right to sit on the right hand of the power of God, that he had the right. Even though the mother of Peter and James, not Peter and James, James and John wanted her sons to sit there, they couldn't. But Jesus had the right, this place of honor and deity. Take your Bibles, and I know you've turned back to Luke, but now to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, if you would, please. And we're going to look at chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, one of my favorite portion of scriptures that we find in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The day is coming when all will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Even from Satan and his fallen angels, to every atheist, to everyone that is agnostic, to those that worship false idols, they will all declare that Jesus is Lord. The privilege is that we have the opportunity to declare it right now. We right now can say Jesus is Lord, that he is the Son of God, and that he is making intercession for the believer. Songs we sing, and we read about him in the Gospels. This Jesus Christ knew where he was headed at that moment. They were mocking him. He probably had bruises on his face from those guards that had hit him. He probably was already tired because all night long he had been mocked. And here he stands. For who? For you and for me. Is it any wonder in the book of John chapter 3 that God the Father says that they will endure his wrath if they reject Jesus Christ because of what man did to him? John 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without me ye can do nothing. Folks, may I let you know that without Jesus Christ we can do nothing. Don't ever try to defeat Satan in your own power. It cannot be done. It cannot be done. I don't know how many of you have ever had one of these little fatty balls underneath your skin. I've got a number of them, and in the early days I would go and Dr. Lee would run his little knife along that and pop it out. And he told me, he says, I do it to myself. And I'm thinking, are you nuts? But he said, yeah, he says, I just kind of deaden it and I get that little knife. I was going to call it an X-Acto knife, but I don't think it's an X-Acto knife. That surgical scalpel, thank you. The scalpel, and he said they just pop right out. When I had some, he didn't let me watch. I'm not sure I'd want to. You know, it's one thing for Dr. Lee to do that, but may I say this, Dr. Lee could not save himself. Now, I can say that because Dr. Lee was a born-again Christian. I remember one time he said, I want to X-ray your lungs. I thought, well, why do you want to X-ray my lungs? And after he X-rayed them, he told me to go out and sit in the lobby. I'm thinking, Dr. Lee, you're doing an awful lot today. Why are you doing this? And then he walked out into the lobby where I was with a whole group of people, and he held the X-ray of my lungs up to the light, and he goes, folks, look at these lungs. He said, these lungs have never smoked. He said, look how clear they are. Now, of course, X-rays are backwards, aren't they? The light is dark and the dark is light. Am I right on that? Nobody here is going to answer. Where's Dr. Mark when we need him, Judy? Reading X-rays. But he held them up to the light and he says, these are good lungs. Don't smoke. But you know, may I say this? Physically, we could be in perfect health, but what are we spiritually? How is our spiritual health today? Jesus said, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Without me ye can do nothing. We find the question here asked, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. They said, well, why do we need to hear anything more? This would end the religious trials. They would then send him to the Roman authorities, hoping they could convince them that this man should die. And may I say this? The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Whose death? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your death. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, his death. Because he died because of your sins. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of you like to receive a gift? I mean, be honest. Don't lie. You like to receive a gift. Now, it could be as simple as a $10 gift card to go to McDonald's and get one of their new Angus burgers. Don't you think that'd be a nice gift? How many of you'd like it if I came down there and I said, I've got a key to a brand new car and we're going to give it to you today? Would that be nice? Yes. Anniversaries, birthdays, Christmas, you know, you give gifts. And some of them are pretty nice, right? And some of them, well, they're just so-so. How many of you have ever given a gift and afterwards you thought, boy, I wish I hadn't had to do that? No one's raising their hand. Good, you've always given gifts you wanted to give. But what's the greatest gift you can receive? Jesus Christ and his salvation. That is the greatest gift you can receive. But the key word there is receive. I'm going to tell you this. There are people that have left our church through the years that left the gift right here on the communion table. They didn't take it. They didn't want it. They said, I'll do it my own way. But there's only one way into heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Matthew Henry writes, there are none so blind as those that will not see. There are those that in our world today that have the gospel message. They have the churches that are proclaiming it, and they will not come. They have blinded themselves to their need. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. John chapter 12. I tell you what, we need to be children of light because we live in a dark world. There was a saying that went about in the late 70s, early 80s. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? It's a very moving statement, isn't it? If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Shall we stand together? We're singing 381, Jesus is calling. He's calling for you and for me. His desire is that you get things right with him. 381 will be our song of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your patience, for second chances. Thank you for the salvation that is available. And Lord, we pray if there is any lost with us today, that there would be joy in heaven over one coming to know you as Savior. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.